Leftover lasagna.
Leftover lasagna.
Lasagna, no way.
It's a type of sandwich.
Some kind of gross pasta.
Leftover lasagna is a podcast by my church and Tony Uncle.
Leftover lasagna. Very funny name.
Okay, sir, meter running. Okay. Let's go. Nitin, say hi. This is now a
time. Hey, Tony. How are you doing?
Hi. Hi, Nitin.
No, I don't.
You?
We've only recorded 5 podcasts in the last 7 days. So I absolutely did not expect to run into you on a Zoom call today.
We are putting the pity in serendipity. Is that what you were saying?
Well, we should have pity on our listeners to put up with us across multiple podcasts. So here we are. Episode 4 of Leftover Lasagna is about serendipity.
I don't think anyone honestly believe we would last 4 episodes, or is it 5? But anyway, we are here. All of it is actually thanks to serendipity, in fact, which is... So, Nitin, I think over the last couple of episodes, we hit a reasonably good template where we each bring 3 things that we don't tell each other, but also fell into a mold of getting to be sort of uncles who complain about everything. So today we are breaking that mold. No? We're talking about happy things like serendipity. But the fun part today and every day is that we don't tell each other that what we've prepared, because we rarely prepare. However, given that we are bringing a couple of things each, like potluck, what will be amazing on an episode of serendipity, but also sad, is that both of us come up with the exact same things for discussion, and therefore we cut short the number of minutes, which will be a serendipitous discovery for our listeners, because the episode will be short there.
Well, you said the good thing about our template is that we don't tell each other what we have come up with. Our listeners are hoping we won't tell them either, but you know, then they have spared the... So far, we have not run into issues where we have the same things in our list.
Yeah.
It almost happened in the last episode, but let's see. Let's see today.
And in the previous one, we just had to record the second half twice because we forgot to hit record. This very serendipitous, sounding like a broken record thing happened off. But anyway, that's not the case here. So Nitin, why don't we start with you? What is serendipity? And why are we talking about it?
So serendipity, so it's a good place to start is the very etymology of serendipity. Actually, I'm going to throw it right back at you.
Going right back to our elocution days, the Oxford Dictionary defines serendipity as, I don't know what it is, but just thought I'll do the voice. But anyway, serendipity basically is like, happy accidents, right? Because I looked up the wiki page for serendipity. And they said happy accidents redirects here. So I think that's a good short definition.
Serendipitous way to land on the page for serendipity. People who search for happy accidents are sent in this direction. But what do you think is the story? How did the word get its name?
But I mean...
Yeah, because this itself, by the way, there's a reason why I'm asking you. Yeah.
Basically, the word serendipity comes from serendip, which is the older word for Sri Lanka, right? So when we got into B school first, I think first 1 week we were like finding our troops and stuff like that, generally mingling around. And for some reason, we started playing Dumb Charades, right? And this is a bunch of people who met for the first time. And one of the movies you usually give in Dumb Charades is Serendipity, because it's also the name of a movie. But if you can't split it, it is a very difficult one to act out. So it came to me and I was like, I will show Sri Lanka. Because in my mind, it is obvious that Sri Lanka is serendip when you have to guess serendipity, right? Except my team had no clue. And then they're like, hey... Trafful, like, so it was the exact opposite of serendipity when I had to act out serendipity. So I guess you were going for serendip, unless you were going for something else.
No, I was going for serendip, but to double click into serendip itself, which of course was the olden name for Sri Lanka. How do you think Sri Lanka got the name serendip?
Oh, okay. I don't know. How did they get the name Ceylon? Just different people calling different things.
So by the way, until today, for some reason, you know, I tend to mix up stories in my head. So we all know that Columbus discovered America by accident. For some reason, I thought somebody discovered Sri Lanka by accident. And that's how Sri Lanka got its name Serendipity, because got the name Serendip.
Oh,
because
no.
Serendipitously landed on that island. But that's not the actual story, right? So this is from, of course, I think we're going to liberally lift from the Wikipedia page today.
Obviously.
So the first noted use of the word serendipity was by Horace Walpole in 1754. Walpole explained an unexpected discovery he made about a lost painting and which was a reference from a Persian fairy tale. And the name of that fairy tale was The Three Princes of Serendip. Yeah, and so, and this actually was an Arab story. It was a Persian story, right? And Serendip was just happened to be the Persian name for Sri Lanka. Yeah. And I didn't know that. So I serendipitously today discovered that the etymology for Sri Lanka getting the name Serendip was not what I thought it was. So that was my first serendipitous story for the day.
Yeah. No. So, wow. Day.
Exactly.
Oh, you're doing all the light lifting today. Amazing. Oh no.
That's so, what I was going for. That's why I asked you. Yeah. Because I always thought that was the etymology. I thought somebody accidentally discovered.
Oh, so you serendipitously discovered the etymology of the word serendip. Oh, beautiful. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Nice. You know how you know how there is this thing called karaoke PowerPoint. PowerPoint karaoke. Which
no idea what that is.
So yeah. PowerPoint karaoke, I'm sure both of us have inadvertently done in B school, which is basically where they give you a set of slides you've never seen before, and you have to present it to a bunch of people as if you made the PPT yourself. And I can see you would be really good because you basically read out the definition of serendipity
and created content out of it.
Yeah, and you've couched it as a brilliant serendipitous moment in itself. Amazing. You've just leveled it up. Beautiful. Beautiful.
That's why I'm awesome. Yeah.
Just to round up on that, I think it's called Serendip because it is a, the way they say Simhala Dweep or something. Dweep essentially means island, and Simhala, I don't know how it became Seren, but yeah.
It didn't. So Serendip actually comes from Chera Dweepa. So Chera, of course, from Chola our part Chera of the Pandya. World. Exactly. Yeah, Chera was, you know, a seafaring kingdom. I think they were across both Tamil Nadu and Kerala, and they went over to Sri Lanka, and they were sort of the ruling tribe in Sri Lanka. So Chera Dweepa is what Serendip is.
Oh, that's so how it got its name. Yeah. Chera Dweep would be the exact opposite of Simhala Dweep because I'm guessing they were speaking Tamil.
I guess. Right? I'm guessing these names came at different times, right? So, and which is why Sri Lanka has a lot of interesting names, right? So Ceylon was also an interesting name. So Serendip was the name given by Arab traders. So when Arab traders actually showed up in Sri Lanka, I guess the Cheras were in power. So they called it Sarandib, right? Which is derived from the Sanskrit Simhala Dweepa. So yeah, they I don't know.
Then
I don't
much
know
later, it also turned into a Punjabi ink spinner.
Sarandip Singh, yes, absolutely. Who played 3 test matches for India and scored a 39 not out in saving a test match in Georgetown. You know, which was his third and final test match. Had a long partnership with Rahul Dravid. Unfortunately, lost out on the Sardari spinner stakes to Harbhajan Singh. Yeah.
Would you call that a serendipitous partnership, though, with Rahul Dravid?
Yeah. Well, a serendipitous events are, you know, things that have a happy outcome. So definitely not happy for Sarandip because it heralded the end of his career. But since you mentioned Ceylon, right, which is the other name of Sri Lanka, the first and only person I think who I've heard using the name Ceylon was my dad. When India used to play Sri Lanka in cricket matches, he'll be like, we have a match with Ceylon today. I'm like, Ceylon, what is this Ceylon? I recently
wasn't Radio Ceylon a very popular radio channel, I think.
Yeah.
Very popular as out of the three that you could get.
Yeah, the funny thing is, most people, lots of people, even in Sri Lanka, actually don't know about this, or in India at least, don't know about the name Ceylon. But I think it's more popular in the south, thanks, of course, to Ceylon Parota.
Ceylon Parota. Yeah.
So, can you explain for our listeners what a Ceylon Parota is?
Oh, I actually don't know what a Ceylon Parota is. Is coin Parota?
It could be. I mean, though, typically a Ceylon Parota is square in shape, right? Firstly, since we have a lot of dear listeners from North India, we should first very clearly clarify that Parota and Paratha are two entirely different beasts. One of them is good and the other one is not. Figuring out which is left as an exercise to the listener. Parotas, of course, are made with, you know, maida, all-purpose flour. And the beauty of the Parota is that it's not just, you know, rolled and flattened the way general flatbreads are made.
Ooh,
right?
It's layered like a lasagna.
It is layered like a lasagna. There you go. Everything adds up eventually, right? So it's you make a ball out of the all-purpose flour and then you actually pull the ball out, right? You make a rope out of it and then you coil that rope and then you flatten it. That's how you get the layers in a parota.
Yeah, exactly.
Before you do all of that, you first whip it all over the place so that you get a nice, indigestible and also very tasty.
Which is why it's never made at home, basically, right? Because you need industrial strength manually
because you need,
to create it.
Because you need.
Yeah, need. Need for need. You're right. Need for need. This should be the next.
Need for need. Yeah. Except that the Ceylon Parota is a fourth order derivative of something that has already been changed in shape so many times. Because as you just mentioned, you first need to knead the dough. Then you need to roll it into a ball. Then you need to draw it out into a rope. Then you need to coil the rope and then you need to flatten it. Yep. All of that gives you a parota. A Ceylon parota is when you do all that and then you stuff meat, egg and other things into this thing and then fold it up, right? And you, which is why typically a Ceylon parota is square in shape, right? It is cooked after it is made into a square.
We should change our podcast name to Ceylon parota now. Except speaking of bringing it back to serendipity, we literally made up the name for the show on the pilot, right? And viewers and listeners can actually go back to the pilot, which is episode nothing, and go back and view how we came up with it, right? It was completely by accident. And like last week, I just was telling you that leftover lasagna actually spells out LOL if you want to abbreviate it, which is literally what we're going for, hopefully. So there you go. The serendipitous discovery. So the first serendipitous thing that I wanted to bring to, this show is life itself, right? Feels very philosophical. But here's the thing, that the chances of life existing on this planet, in this entire universe at this point in time, apparently, as calculated by scientists, is the same as you throwing 36 dice and all of them showing up the number 6, right? Or any number, the same number, right? Which means it is crazy odds of, such a thing happening. I mean, needless to say, the rest of the things that led to us being born and then you and I, finding each other and starting the show, etc. But it's amazing to think about it, right? It's like suddenly things that make you go nuts. Because I don't know if you've done this, whenever someone goes to a casino for the first time, inevitably you do at some point, maybe just post B school and you have some money or something and you're like, oh, we will game this system and we'll go play a roulette. And how would you do it? You go progressive and you say, I'll bet on red or black and then I'll double the money. And then, within 3-4 times, I will end up successful, except you go bust. But you still don't realize how crazy it is that imagine throwing a dice 36 times back to back and it all ending up as 6, right? You would end up with all the money in the world, basically.
But this is the infinite monkeys theorem, right? Because it seems like a very improbable event. If you throw 36 dice and you get 36 sixes in your first attempt. But if you have done it, 7 billion times or whatever that number is, 36. No, you can't try. That's why I said theoretically. If you theoretically had a... practically, you can't manufacture so many dice. Yeah, it's infinite. It is infinite monkeys. It is infinite monkeys. So I'm saying...
This is the point. My point is this. But it is not impossible. Obviously, it's not impossible. That's why
I'm not even saying it's impossible, right? It is actually... See, as... There is a principal agent problem at play over here. Or rather, an observer versus the experimenter experimentee problem at play. Assume that there's someone who's holding all the strings and conducting this experiment, right? They have all those millions of outcomes in front of them. They are not surprised to see that in one of those outcomes, this is happening right now. While on all the other outcomes, it's not. Whereas we, as participants in that one successful outcome, feel that, we are the chosen ones. We are not the chosen ones.
Yeah, I'm not saying we're the chosen ones. It's a very different thing from... I'm saying it is a very extremely improbable event that has happened. And
it is. There's no questioning.
That's all. Yeah, it is a happy accident. All of life, forget us, but just all of life is a serendipitous accident. But I will tell you more things, right? I just wanted to layer this serendipitous event to other serendipitous things that have happened, which have led to me being here, right? One of the other things was the fact that St. Thomas, who was an apostle of Jesus, actually landed up in, Socotra, which is like a very remote island of Yemen, and also in Kerala, right? Tradition says, and established like 7.5 churches, as it is called. So technically, both Judaism, Christianity, everything reached, India and specifically Kerala way before it reached Europe, right? And it is something that people don't understand when you speak of, something as crazy as it happening. Not only did this happen in like some first century AD, right? Practically AD 52 as tradition holds, but it still exists in like 2024 years later, right? And if you look at, Kerala's population, I would assume more than 20% are Christians, right? Which is pretty pretty significant considering you know how the rest of the country is. So that is
why. Is it the highest the most concentrated population of Christians in India, or does Goa or some other state have more?
Goa might be, but that's but too smaller state, right? I'm not sure. Okay, let's look it up.
Have you, by the way, Goa been to St. Thomas Mount? Have you been to St. Thomas Mount in Chennai?
Of course, yes.
It's unbelievable, right? It's literally like it's like a time machine to be able to see some of those things. Thankfully, still maintained extremely well.
From way
into the past.
Why is it? It's remarkable. Is that obviously there were Jews in Kochi also, Kerala also, and most of them, you know, ended up going to Israel at some point in time, right? But these guys exist as yes, we are exist, which is you know, St. Thomas Christians from way back when. But also like Socotra, the other island he went to, at one point in time, I think in the 17th century or something, every woman in that island was just called Mary, right? They were all converted to Christianity. But now that island is fully Muslim again, even though it is a very remote one, right? So in that sense, it is pretty serendipitous that this particular community exists. And the other serendipitous event, which is actually really funny, that I want to talk to you about, was the start of the World War One, or the Great War, not Battle of Plassey, but
Archbishop Francis Ferdinand.
Archduke.
I used to call him the Archduke, but yeah. Archduke.
Yeah, but do you know how he was assassinated?
No, I don't know. Was he made to listen to 4 episodes of Leftover Lasagna?
This would actually have been less funnier. Because basically this dude was the heir apparent to the Austria-Hungary throne and whatever. And like Bosnia was part of their kingdom at that point, except these guys were like, you know, we want to have a united sort of separate state, Serbians and Bosnians and all of them together. So basically they put together a sort of resistance, which was practically like all amateurs. Okay. So this one guy managed to get 6 students together who were between the ages of 18 and 20. And lined them up along the road where this arch dude was coming through, visiting Bosnia along with his wife. And all of them were given one bomb, one pistol, and one cyanide pill. Okay. And they were lined up along the street. The idea was, you know, whatever shot you get, you take, right? The first two guys just didn't bother, right? They just let Archduke pass by. Okay. And
I'm guessing that the cyanide pill was not given for the murder, it was given as a post.
You kill the guy and you kill yourself, right? Basically.
So
the first two guys didn't act.
I missed the gunshot. Maybe I can pelt him with cyanide pills and that might kill him.
That would have been fun. So the first two guys don't act. The third guy is standing on top of a bridge. Okay. And as these guys pass by, he throws the grenade but forgets to pull the pin, or there is some particular timer that is there, which is like 10 seconds or whatever. It calmly bounces off the top of the car and goes behind and then blasts another car. Nobody dies, but 20 people are injured now. So this dude, he's like, he swallows the cyanide pill and he, since he's on a bridge, he jumps into the river. Except the river has only 13 centimeters of water because it is a very dry summer. So he's broken his bones and the cyanide pills that he's been given are expired, so he doesn't die.
So he's not expired.
he doesn't expire either. He starts vomiting. So
wait, he starts vomiting because the pills have expired and they're spoiled, or because
made him
like
sick.
Old cyanide doesn't kill but gives you like indigestion or something.
What doesn't kill you makes you vomit.
Vomit.
Yeah, so what doesn't kill you makes you stranger, and people notice the stranger in the middle of the shallow river who is vomiting. They almost beat him to an inch of his life. And then everyone's like, okay, you know, mischief managed now. Obviously, there is no one to kill you and all that. So he goes and calmly gives the speech. Then they follow the rest of the plan. And there are 3 other assassins, obviously, right? The first two, everyone flees except this guy who's caught. Except one assassin is like, I came here, I might as well, you know, have a beer and a sandwich, and he's chilling in one shop, just sitting there. And these guys go and give the speech, and then they're supposed to come back to another different thing, except the Archduke is like, I'll go see the people who were injured in the bomb blast. And then they're coming back, and this guy's driver obviously doesn't know the way and misses the cavalcade, okay? So he takes a wrong turn.
Wait, now I'm confused. Sorry to interrupt. Who gave the speech? The Archduke gave the speech.
Archduke, yeah.
So he gave a speech. Okay.
That was now, the intent of the whole visit.
It was during the speech, was the attempt to murder was to happen during the speech, which didn't happen.
No, no. After the speech, he was the Archduke, on the way to the speech. Right?
Understood.
That is when the whole attempt happened. Some people got injured. And then he's like, now, next engagement.
I have a question. Why didn't the last two guys make an attempt? The first two missed, the third one jumped
into...
No, by
then everyone was on the lookout, no? Saying that the security has been breached and... you know,
oh, because randomly one grenade bounced off the car and all of that.
Correct.
Okay.
And 20 people were injured.
Okay. So, got it. Okay, then what happens?
This one guy is chilling in the sandwich shop. So this guy, they are taking a turn and Archduke's driver is not a local. So he misses the turn. He takes another wrong turn. By the time the other cavalcade catches up and asks him to reverse. But this is 1914, whatever. And car doesn't have a reverse gear. So this guy has to get out and physically push the car. And the place where he stops is right in front of the sandwich shop where this guy has finished his sandwich and beer. And he's coming out. He's holding a pistol and he's like, oh, these guys.
Wow.
And he shoots them. And that starts World War One.
My goodness, my mind is blown. This, by the way, is not a serendipitous event.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of a serendipitous event.
It's
and there is a name for that.
For the guy, yeah. Oh, there's a name for it.
I saw it earlier.
Is it Yitip Neres?
No, it's not. Although you can try to pronounce that. It's called Zemblanity. Yeah, that's why I remember it. Or rather, don't remember it. What I remember it is as a very Mallu word. Zemblanity.
Zemblified.
So... Zemblanity, William Boyd coined the term Zemblanity in the late 20th century to mean the opposite of serendipity, making unhappy, unlucky and unexpected discoveries occurring by design. The derivation is speculative but believed to be from Nova Zembla, a barren archipelago once the site of Russian nuclear testing. Yes, it has all led to this moment. So we should be eternally grateful and perennially thankful for... For having got our just desserts, which is thankfully not a cyanide pill that has expired. So, I wanted to talk about a couple of the famous inventions that were serendipitous.
Obviously, okay.
Which is your favorite of the lot?
I there is amongst my 10 or 15 reels of TIL, one is there, which is. The origin of Viagra, right? Which was originally intended to be a pill for hypertension or cardio something, right? Basically to ease the flow of blood into the heart and stop angina or whatever. Yeah. And they took the test and all the focus group was there. And all of them basically said they were all lying down on their stomach for some reason. And the nurse asked them, you know, why? And they're like, slightly embarrassed because we've got an erection. And so then they pivoted that whole discovery into creating what is called Viagra. So, yeah, I think that one is my favorite.
Yeah. Do you know that LSD was also discovered accidentally? Imagine, the guy who invented LSD, he was, I think it accidentally ingested it through his skin or something and then had an out-of-body experience and,
But even before that, the poster child for scientific discoveries is obviously penicillin, right? Alexander Fleming and penicillin, which was completely accidentally discovered when...
He had these incubation chambers inside which he was putting the bacteria to observe, how medicine sort of act on them. He was going on a two-week vacation and there was this one batch of bacteria which he did not actually put inside the incubator. He accidentally left it outside. Because he left it outside, the fungus, the penicillin fungus, which is a mold basically, was also able to thrive in that environment. The same mold would not have actually grown if he had put it inside the incubator. And when he comes back after 2 weeks, he sees that the bacteria in that, in that contaminated vial has all been destroyed because it is in the presence of... penicillin. And that's how antibiotics exist, which also is a reason why we are here, because if not, that's a great story. The other one that I really like is the invention of the microwave oven. Do you know how that happened?
No, tell me.
Also entirely by serendipity. In 1945 was invented by this person called Percy Spencer, right? Now, this guy, he was doing some experiment with microwaves, right? And not necessarily trying to figure out what they would be up to. And he had a pocket of candy he had a packet of chocolate in his pocket.
Yeah.
That's a mouthful. a packet of chocolate in your pocket started melting just like this sentence. Percy Spencer. Yeah.
Percy had a packet.
Percy Spencer put a packet of chocolate in his pocket. And then it started melting because of the impact of microwaves from an active radar set he was working on. And he actually had a candy bar. It was called the Mr. Good Bar candy bar.
This happens in Kerala without you doing anything. Like the chocolates melt. Just expect them. Exactly. It's only when the coconut oil freezes that we are surprised. Not when chocolate melts.
this is explained. No, this is all St. Thomas. This is miracles that have been enacted by the apostle. Microwaves exist everywhere in Kerala. So that's why So after having melted the candy bar, he then actually tried to see if there are other things he could cook using microwave. So the first piece of food he deliberately cooked was popcorn. And the second one is something that we continue to be advised not to ever put inside a microwave oven, which is an egg. So he actually put an egg in the microwave and it exploded in the face of the experimenter. Thankfully, that explosion did not lead to... He had egg on his face. Exactly.
The yolks but, on thanks... His friend said, "I'll bum into you later."
You can't make an omelette without accidentally discovering a microwave oven. A few microwave ovens.
They were walking on eggshells all day after that.
Literally, yeah. Okay, yeah. I think we have fertilized the shit out of that joke.
You think this is over?
No, I'm putting more jokes into another basket.
I know, finish what you were saying before.
That's all. I'm done with the microwave story. What else?
lost the will to explain. One of the cool things that I saw recently, I'm not sure if it is serendipity or if it is just connecting dots, but interesting nonetheless, is that there has been a AI scan mechanism developed for cancer cells. It comes from the way technology was used to scan Japanese breads and pastries, right? So in Japan, which is obviously crazy about, its's food and they have a wide variety of things.
Have they tried Ceylon Parota?
They probably have. A wasabi Kit Kat, right? Anyway, so one of the things that was a consumer insight was that if you want to sell pastries or breads, you should sell them not packaged, but in the open. Because that gives a sign of freshness, basically. But the challenge here is obviously that there are so many different types of pastries, and you don't want the person at the till holding the pastry and scanning it or whatever to bill it, right?
Yeah.
So this created a challenge where you had to have a system which identifies multiple different breads, calculates their pricing, and throws it all up in one go without the need for a human intervention. Right. So basically, they created a image detection system, which was one of the challenges that AI had to solve initially, which is quite tough, right? Especially if you have so many different things. But basically, they were able to do it, which is that you place it on that, you as the customer place it, it automatically detects what kind of pastry it is, and boom, bam, bim, your billing is done and you're out of it. And then someone somewhere sort of realized that, read the story and realized that cancer cells actually resemble these croissants or breads or all of these
exactly
things.
Because you eat grains and you get cancer. It is all poison.
Maida, Ceylon Parota, refined flour.
Obviously.
Anyway, so basically they've used the same system now to for early detection of cancer without needing a human to do all of the process, right? So basically this AI can sort of detect cancerous cells and sort of flag, and then the technician just needs to check, which I thought was pretty cool. Finding an application for one thing somewhere else. Not sure it's entirely serendipity, but what is there?
Have you actually used one of these just walk out technology kind of things? This thing called just walk out technology, where you just go, you pick up whatever you want from the store and you walk out. And it automatically bills you from your Amazon Pay wallet and you pay for it.
This just walk out technology we used to use in engineering college canteen and all.
What's the wonder? Just take things and walk out.
Just walk out.
You are ahead
sir
of your
Bill.
Time.
Yeah, he's like, sir, do you want anything more? No. Sir Bill, no, thanks.
That also we don't want. We definitely don't want the bill. We had this when I was in Bangalore. There was this Big Basket Go or Big Basket Daily or whatever. There was a fridge basically that was installed in our building, which was stocked with Big Basket thing, fridge slash whatever, like a cupboard.
Like and a vending you could, machine.
Not really a vending machine. That's the whole thing. You could scan things from your phone. Yeah. Just take and once you basically you could
take
you
it
would
and
get
go.
The you could take it and go and it would automatically detect how many you took and bill you for it. So also
Amazing.
Just pop out. Yeah, I tried very hard to game that and try and steal some ice cream and stuff. Never worked. It would always
Oh,
bill me.
really? That's fabulous,
yeah.
man.
Because I would say I want one ice cream, but I'd open the fridge and take out two just to see
Oh,
what would happen. It
you
would
were
bill me
trying
for
to
two.
Put all your ice creams in one big basket.
Yeah, and it melted like chocolate in my pocket.
Chocolate packet in Percy Spencer's pocket. Yeah.
Percy Spencer's pocket. Yeah.
Yeah. What
so,
is the next thing you have?
I've clearly
You're Googling now.
No. I've already
go to
yeah,
Google and
click
I am feeling lucky, which is actually like
basically serendipity. Yeah. No, I've already copy pasted the entire Wikipedia page, so I'm good to go.
I need to sort of bring this back to engineering college again. So we used to have this policy called direct admission for students abroad, right? And which was basically that they would pay like 20 times higher fees than us, but these are kids growing up in Dubai, etc., who just can just come and like only criterion at that time was you had to get at least 60% in 12th or something like that. So inevitably
yeah.
they were set up a failure and they started using CHITS and all of that, right? Basically to use in exams. But by the fifth or sixth sem, they wouldn't even be bothered to make CHITS. They would just micro scan the entire textbook. And then, stuff it into their pockets, which is literally what you've done. You've copy-pasted the entire Wikipedia article. And so to sort of help them out, they have one chit in the front pocket, which is called an index chit, which sort of tells you where to hunt for the other chits. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is interesting. Anyway.
Yeah, except there is actually no reason to copy-paste the entire Wikipedia page. There
yeah,
is no
I
index.
Don't know why you did.
Not a microfilm either, right? So I've only extracted select bits of the page. Anyway, so this is an interesting one. It's about an insect or a fly or something called the lacewing, okay? A new species of lacewing.
Oh, yeah. Flicker.
Which was detected on Flickr, right? It's supposed to be, it's native to Malaysia or something, but it was discovered accidentally by this scientist. When he was on Google or something on Flickr, he saw random images of this insect, and then realized that basically discovered the new insect. And this then became the interesting part is this discovery became a huge sort of endorsement for personalization algorithms, because this person was shown images of insects because of his interest in insects or his qualification as an interest or as an insect researcher or whatever. It's not
Yes.
an image that would have been shown to him otherwise, and it's not an image that would have been shown to anybody else. Otherwise, right? Because
Amazing.
The image stream was tailored to his requirement, which I found quite interesting.
Amazing, amazing. So another sort of related thing that you would probably not have heard of, which blew my mind. I'm hoping you wouldn't have heard of it. Otherwise, all of this is stupid. Is that in 2016, there were three new crab species discovered in the Western Ghats, right? The first one is called Gatiana atropurpurea. Second one is called Gatiana splendida. And the third one is called Gubernatoriana thakrai. Now, do you know why I'm saying this? The third one is Gubernatoriana thakrai. All three were actually discovered by Tejas Thakre, who was...
Okay.
Basically, Uddhav Thackeray's son, who was basically
okay.
a wildlife
wow.
person. And all three were discovered by him. And the third one is actually named after Uddhav Thackeray's son, Tejas Thackeray.
Okay.
Gubernatoriana Thackeray.
But why Gubernatoria? Is he like some governor or something?
Governor,
or
yeah,
small...
maybe, yeah. Probably.
The Priory of Sion.
Oh.
I know, thank you. My lady from Malad. He's a
no,
boy,
but
that's
so. Amazing, no? I didn't think.
Yeah.
So, the connect is from cancer to crab, which is also cancer.
Oh, okay. Not to be confused with Scorpio, which is not a crab,
basically. Not a crab.
So similar crustacean. Interesting. Oh, so you're connecting and all. Huh? I'll also connect. What is that? So, see, when we started... I told you about my mistaken idea about the etymology of serendip. Sri Lanka's name. And I assumed it was because it was serendipitously discovered, which it was not. What is the place that would have had a more fitting name if it were called Serendip? It would be America, because America was actually discovered by serendipity. Except, much like me, Columbus was looking to find India, and he had all his calculations and everything. He was sure that he had to travel some 4,000 miles or something from Italy, where he started from, to reach Asia, broadly Japan. He was hoping to find India. He landed in Bahamas, and he called it India. And in fact, he continued to believe it was India, despite there being overwhelming evidence for many years afterwards that he had actually not landed in India, and the place he had landed in was America. But this is the interesting part, which again, I very serendipitously discovered today, that Columbus discovered America, right? The day that he actually set sight on the Bahamas first, he called the island San Salvador, which by the way means Holy Savior. It was the first piece of land that he noticed and where they set foot first. The day when he did this was, the year was 1492, and the day was the 12th of October, which happens to be my birthday.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you were that old, dude.
Well played. What is, so when is your birthday, by the way?
23rd April.
Why are you shy to tell me? It's okay.
I don't know why we're revealing, like.
Oh, yeah, you were born on Sachin Tendulkar's birthday, right?
Yeah. Actually,
or one day after?
One day before, yeah. But Malayalam Manorama claimed that it was Sachin Tendulkar's birthday. So Malayalam Manorama said it is my same birthday as me. So my dad actually wanted to change my name from Tony to Sachin, except my brother basically said, no, change my name instead. And he was older and like wiser and all of that. So he is Sachin actually. Yeah.
Wait a sec. So what was your brother's name originally?
His name was Lolly.
What? Lolly. L-O-L-Y.
L-O-L-E-K. Lolly is the Lolek. Polish diminutive name for Karol Wojtyła, who is popularly known as Pope John Paul II, who became Pope back then, right? He was a very charismatic Pope and all of that. So my dad put severe funda, except everyone sort of made fun of poor Lolek back in the day. So he's known as Sachin since fourth standard. Serendipitously for him.
He was renamed on the day you were born, which was
not when I was born.
Day.
This is when I was like maybe 4 or 5 or something that Manorama reported. When Sachin was in prime form, no? Like 91, 92 types.
Correct. Yeah, that makes sense. So you were already Tony by then. And you continue to remain Tony.
Yeah.
But also Lolek didn't like his name, basically. So he was looking for a switch. So he pushed for Sachin randomly. But there was no need to go with Sachin for him. What they should have done was find out what Malayalam Manorama wrongly reported as a celebrity birthday on his birthday. That is what they should have done. Correct. But they went with Sachin and you stuck with Tony. So there is a one-day discrepancy between you and Sachin Tendulkar. Sachin. Which is very fitting because Tendulkar is a good one-day cricketer. So think about it.
Wow, were you working towards that, or did that just serendipitously come up?
Serendipitously came up. Yeah. Okay, so who are the people who are actually? What are the other famous things that have happened on your birthday, other than your birth?
John Oliver was born on my birthday. And
that will make me Andy Zaltzman. So thank you. Yes. Okay.
William Shakespeare was born on my birthday. It's also World Book Day. Yeah. All of these things. What about yours? 12th October, other than
not
this
too many,
guy
actually
making a mistake.
Actually, I remember the athlete Marion Jones was born on October 12th, which I was very proud about until she was banned for doping. So after that, I don't state that. I don't think there are too many other celebrities that it's just me basically.
Yeah.
On that day. But Columbus discovered America and called it India. So both of us have naming related jokes that are. Related to our actual birthdays, plus or minus one day or one country,
One test batch. Still, West Indies also a proud one day nation, anyway.
There you go,
one day champions. Last thing that I wanted to sort of talk about was how the early internet, not necessarily early internet, at least early web 2.0, was so much fun and so full of discovery, right? Forget the Google, I'm feeling lucky button. There used to be this thing called StumbleUpon, where you could just like stumble upon so many new things, and like it was brilliant. And also like the web was not fully around digital advertising, right? Which meant they created a space for lots of communities and discovery of friendships. In fact, our own group and everyone in it is a product of Orkut times, and Chuck and me happening to meet on Orkut, right? Which has led to the serendipitous cascade of several thousand WhatsApp groups, which we can't keep count of now, and at least 10 different podcasts, right? So,
I call it the Rolodex of rubbish, as your
the Rolodex of rubbish. Exactly. No, but so my whole thing was how the web back then was so beautiful because it was game towards serendipity or designed towards serendipity and discovery.
It was.
Right now, the algorithms are, you know, sort of tailor-made such that A, there is a filter bubble. B, you don't discover anything new except an ad or something meaningful, right? So I feel like...
And you don't even want to. We don't even want to discover anything new anymore, right? Like we just want... We want our filter bubbles to get fortified.
Yeah. And I mean, forget the internet part of things, right? Like, even if you think about how you would just walk into a library and probably pick up a book and check it out and maybe read or not read. And then you went on to something like a Google search or whatever, and you still had options to choose from at least. Now we've moved on to the era of ChatGPT, where there is like a one answer to your question, right? There is literally... Yeah. Almost no discovery, no serendipity. I feel like that is something that is deeply missing in the internet of today.
No, imagine when we were kids, if we were told that by the time we were in our 30s, we would have these subscriptions to basically, you know, an endless supply of a video library, right? Which is what a Netflix is. You could go and watch any movie you want, clicking a couple of buttons and pretty much at negligible cost. My mind would have been blown if somebody had told me this when I was a school kid. Because we used to, I saw this thing on Twitter recently, right? Like children these days don't know what it was to watch a movie on television and you're holding your pee waiting for the advertisement break to come. And then you go out and then, you know, somebody tells you it's starting and then you run back.
Starting and you literally stumble over the...
Exactly, couch. And did you see the reply to that tweet? Why wouldn't you just pause it? Like... Wow.
Oh, yeah.
But we now live in this world where this is possible. And we are actually the culprits. We are not in as much awe and wonder as we should be. Right? We're just taking it for granted. Because you can't blame the next generation. They've grown up in this world. We, on the other hand, have seen the old world and the new world. And we're like, what's the big deal? 36 dice were rolled. Big deal. It happens.
No, I feel like there was a definite point where serendipity peaked, right? And now it's gone down again. Even in terms of friendships, right? Possibly in our previous generation or the one before that, your friendships were all just proximity based, right? So you were born in a particular place, you went to a particular school, those are the friends that you have. Then you went to university somewhere, then those are the friends you have. Then you work and live in a place, those are the friends you have, right? But the internet basically allowed us to create friendships with anyone, anywhere. And there was a lot of serendipity to it, except I don't think that happens anymore, right? I mean, I'm not very sure, but we keep talking about early Twitter and, you know, stuff like that. I think that's gone away as well. So
I think Twitter was the end of serendipity. I think it was the last big high and it's been downhill since then.
Or are we just growing old and like the younger ones are actually doing more adventurous things? I don't know. Roblox, apparently, which is also scary, but anyway.
If you don't have any roadblocks, then there can be no serendipity. Roadblocks.
So, Nitin, how would someone discover leftover lasagna, given that there is no room for serendipity anymore on the internet?
Yeah, since there is no room for serendipity. Please don't wait for serendipity to strike. Please copy paste the linktree.com/theleftoverlasagna and send it to your friends to find this
lasagna
podcast.
With an E.
With an E. This is where we will add the text below, you know, blinking text, whatnot. And the biggest takeaway for me today from this talk on serendipity was two of the biggest discoveries/inventions that happened serendipitously. One was, of course, Alexander Fleming discovering penicillin. And Christopher Columbus inventing or discovering America. Both happened when they were on vacation, right? So if there's one takeaway from all of this is that please take more vacations, guys. It helps the world, helps humanity, and hopefully you will discover something new. But if you're going on vacation, please charge your phone, take your earphones and listen to Leftover Lasagna.
So. I feel like you are sort of making an excuse and taking a break from the pod by going on vacation. Is this what is happening?
Serendipity, Max. Indeed. Yes. No, the show shall continue.
The show shall go on. But yeah, amazing. Social media.
Shawshank Redemption.